Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Lord Jesus appointed 72 disciples, whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals. Don't greet anyone along the way. Into whatever house you enter, say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his wage. Do not move about from house to house. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick in it, and say, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord's friends make known the glorious splendor of his kingdom. Today we celebrate a great friend of the Lord who entered the kingdom, spread the glorious splendor of that gift, and has helped millions over the course of the centuries to enter into that same kingdom so that they might experience and tell others about the King's great splendor. Today we celebrate St. Luke. What do we know about him? Seems that he was born in Antioch, that he was accustomed both to Jewish scriptures as well as Greek culture, but eventually find him in Troas, which is where the Acts of the Apostles changed to the first person plural. He was a doctor, a beloved physician, St. Paul describes in his letter to the Colossians. But he left the practice of medicine in order to give himself full time to the gospel. For somebody with a talent like that, it would have been expected that he would have immediately taken a leading role. But he didn't. He allowed Paul and Barnabas and Silas and everybody else to do their job. He was a huge support. But then after St. Paul died, that's when he used that very well-trained medical mind of his, the mind that would use all types of technical medical terms throughout the third gospel in its continuation in the Acts of the Apostles. He used all of that talent to do exactly what God needed, which is to write an orderly account. There were other stories of Jesus passing around. Looks like we had both the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Matthew, as well as some compilations of some of Jesus' stories. But St. Luke, as he tells us in the introduction to his Gospel, says, writing to a lover of God, Theophilus — obviously it must have been my twin brother who chose Theophilus as his confirmation name — but to a lover of God, an orderly account so that they might know with certainty the truths that are necessary. And so St. Luke wrote this orderly account, almost like a textbook, in which there was a clear point of his gospel. It wasn't just, as Mark did, to announce Jesus as the son of David, the Messiah, in other words, the Son of God. It wasn't just, as St. John did, to get to the depth of the eternal identity of Jesus as the Word who was with God from the beginning, light from light, the Good Shepherd, the resurrection of life, so many other I Am statements about Jesus' identity. It wasn't focused fundamentally on the kingdom's coming, as St. Matthew's Gospel was. St. Luke, when he wrote his orderly account, was to write it all about Christ as the divine physician, the one who would come into the world to heal us through his own merciful love, through the medicine of his own precious blood. And when you see that order, the whole Gospel of St. Luke comes alive, because it was all meant to describe this. You can see it in the way that he ordered what's present, for example, in St. Matthew's Gospel. But there are so many things in St. Luke's Gospel that don't exist elsewhere, and we wouldn't know it except for his using all the talents God had given him for precisely this task. And it's through this task that St. Luke has assisted the divine physician in bringing so many to healing over the course of these last 2,000 years. First chapter of St. Luke's Gospel, we have the great scenes of the Archangel Gabriel with Zechariah and Mary. And we see their explosive canticles that we pray every day. Both of those canticles are geared toward mercy. And you, my child, shall be called the Son of the Most High. You will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to proclaim the forgiveness of sins. Help me with it. I'm blanking. Testing. Can't hear you, Sister Emmanuel.
To bring his people knowledge of salvation and the forgiveness.
Through the forgiveness of their sins. It was all about mercy. And then the Magnificat. His mercy is from generation to generation to those who fear him. He remembered his mercy, the mercy he proclaimed to Abraham and our fathers. Starts there with mercy. Get to that beautiful seventh chapter. We see the widow of Nain having her son brought back to death. We see Simon the Pharisee's house, where Jesus says the one who has loved, who has been forgiven more, will love more. Where he gives that parable of the two debtors to Simon, who would love more, the one who recognizes the need for mercy more. Get to the 10th chapter, which he alone recalls, Jesus' extraordinary parable of the Good Samaritan. Later on in that 10th chapter, we see the mercy given to Martha and helping her to remember that only one thing is necessary and that Mary has chosen the better part so that precisely she could receive the grace to do the same. Get to the most beautiful chapter ever written, the 15th chapter of his gospel, which he talks to us about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Precisely to deliver that message of mercy. We keep going in the 16th chapter, in the call to mercy, in the rich man and Lazarus at his gate. We're called to make mercy the mission of our life. Get to the 18th chapter, and the prayers of the persistent widow, as we heard on Sunday. But also in that 18th chapter, we see Zacchaeus and the Lord's bringing salvation to the lowest place on earth, to the most despicable public sinner. We see in the 19th chapter the healing of the lepers and the one leper who received the gift of salvation when he thanked the Lord for that mercy. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. We get to Jesus' passion, and there are two of the seven words that Jesus pronounced through excruciating pain on the cross that we would only have, that we only have thanks to Luke. And what are those words? The first two, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus is proclaiming to the Father our invincible ignorance, exculpating us, because we really didn't know the consequence of our deeds. And then laser beaming that merciful love for that one sinner on his right. Turn to him and just ask not to be forgotten. And Jesus, with the largesse of a king, gave him the grace not just to have his memory continue, but to have his life continue forevermore. The culmination of what Jesus wants to do for every one of us whom he wants to help, similarly steal eternity. This whole gospel is an orderly account geared toward mercy, and to accompany us in that discovery, it's Luke alone, yet again, who gives us after the resurrection the scene of Jesus accompanying the two disciples in the road to Emmaus, who didn't get how the whole thing fit together. And so this anonymous wayfarer, starting with Moses and the prophets, described how the Messiah had to suffer so as to enter into his glory. Their hearts began to burn, and then we know what happened. They were finally able to recognize Jesus in their midst. What an extraordinary act of mercy that was. And these friends immediately went out into the night, running 7 miles uphill in darkness, to spread the glorious splendor of the Lord's kingdom. For us, it's not enough to celebrate St. Luke's feast day as a friend of the Lord. It's not enough for us merely to thank the Lord Jesus for his vocation to this doctor who gave up worldly success in order precisely to dedicate himself to something far more important than even what he was doing in caring for so many people one by one and helping them escape their pain. That we're called to become friends like Luke, to recognize that our life too, in one way or the other, is to help people make sense of who Jesus is, to give them an orderly account, and to have the message of the Lord's mercy resonate. That's why the church chooses today's gospel and chapter of St. Luke's account. This sending out of the 72 exists only in Luke. We've got similar instructions that Jesus gave elsewhere. But this sending out of the 12 and the 60, the apostles and the disciples, is here. Because we're all being sent out precisely to announce this kingdom. The laborers are few for the abundant harvest. And we need to pray to the Master of the Harvest to send out laborers. And we continue that prayer. And the Church continues that prayer. And we are those harvesters called to respond to the Lord's calling in response to that prayer. He wants us to go out with him, trusting in his mercy, as lambs among wolves. Lambs sent out to cooperate with the Lamb with a capital L, to help him take away the sins of the world, to trust in his providence, carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, to be focused on this mission of salvation and not to get distracted by greeting everyone along the way, to offer his peace, the peace that comes through mercy, through the forgiveness of sins, through the definitive peace treaty between God and the human race in the covenant of his Son's blood. Not to constantly be looking for a better deal, but to recognize the mercy even of humble hosts and to be grateful for it. And then to continue the corporal and the spiritual works of mercy. To cure the sick in those homes and say, the kingdom of God is at hand for you, because in receiving us they will receive the King who called us, formed us, and sent us. We're all called, like Luke, to tell of the glorious splendor of the Lord's kingdom, to describe how all his works praise him, that the discourse of the glory of the kingdom and the speech of his might be ever on our lips, that the Lord's ways are holy, his works are just, that he's near to all who call upon him in truth. This is the way that St. Luke is praying for us now, to be able to receive the treasure of his gospel. And whether by pen or a keyboard or by lips, never to cease singing of the mercy we have received that's likewise available for others. St. Luke, as you know, gives us the institution narrative in his gospel about how Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to us and said, "This is my body." And then took the chalice filled with wine and said, "This is the cup of my blood, given for the remission of sins." But there's one element that's unique to St. Luke's account of the Last Supper. It's Jesus' intro, when the Lord said, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." How burning was the Lord's heart in order to give us himself, so that we would be able to consume every day mercy incarnate, the gospel in the flesh, so that together with the Lord on the inside, we don't have to invent how to tell the glorious splendor of the kingdom. We just have to show that the King, mercy, the gospel, lives.